This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
Obviously, the big national news that will be localized and that everyone right now who is a parent will be thinking about their kids, sending their kids to school. A mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, where 14 children and one staff member, a teacher, have been killed. It's possible that that number goes up. I certainly hope it doesn't. We don't have any details, hard details yet, as to the number of injured. We know that there is a 10-year-old and a 66-year-old in critical condition at a San Antonio hospital. San Antonio, the city, is about 80, 85 miles or east of Uvalde, Texas. We know that the suspect has been identified as Salvador Romas. He is a resident. He apparently goes to the high school in the district. It's unclear if he went to this particular elementary school as a kid. The report suggests that he got into some kind of domestic dispute with his grandmother prior to this shooting, and he ended up killing his grandmother. That's the report that we have. That has not yet been confirmed by law enforcement, but several outlets now have reported that. We don't have too many details on the weapon he used. I know that Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, indicated that it was a handgun and potentially a rifle. I can tell you, just because obviously at this moment people are going through all of this guy's social media accounts, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, and I've already seen some images that he posted semi-recently, according to the reports, where he is holding on to, or he has two long guns. So we definitely know that that is a possibility. The vice president is speaking right now, Kamala Harris, so we're going to go to this live as she reacts to the school shooting.
First, I want to begin by saying a few words about the tragedy that occurred today in Uvalde, Texas. As many of you know, the reports are that it was a mass shooting at an elementary school. And the preliminary reports are that 14 children have been killed. And the details are still coming in, and of course the president and I are monitoring the situation closely. So while we don't know all the details yet, we do know that there are parents who have lost children, families that have lost children, and their loved ones, of course, and many others who may have been injured. So I would normally say in a moment like this, we would all say naturally that our hearts break, but our hearts keep getting broken. You know, I think there's so many elected leaders in this room, you know what I'm talking about. Every time a tragedy like this happens, our hearts break. And our broken hearts are nothing compared to the broken hearts of those families. And yet it keeps happening. So I think we all know and have said many times with each other, enough is enough. Enough is enough. As a nation, we have to have the courage to take action and understand the nexus between what makes for reasonable and sensible public policy to ensure something like this never happens again. So the president will speak more about this later. But for now, I will just say to the people of Uvalde, please know that this is a room full of leaders who grieve with you. And we are praying for you, and we stand with you.
That's Vice President Kamala Harris speaking live at the Asian Pacific American Institute for Congressional Studies, APACS. And, you know, we have a rule on this show. I have a rule personally, whether it's Twitter or on air. outside of covering the breaking news elements of these kinds of stories, I don't get into the politics because I just think it's kind of shady and dirty to politicize. I will respond to the politicization in a sense where, just to remind you, she's calling for a different policy, presumably gun control policy. We don't have to pretend that's not where this conversation will go in the coming moments to the coming months, because it's already occurring. I don't know what gun control policy would prevent this, because like Kamala Harris, we don't know what happened and why. We know the what, but we don't know what happened with how he got the guns. Now, if it turns out he stole the weapons that he used, okay, well, obviously gun control laws, I don't know what you do. Did he purchase them legally? Okay. Let's say that that's the case. He purchased them legally. He went through a background check. Okay, now what? Tell me what the gun control law is. Tell me what the gun control law is. Because this idea, and we see this happen on Twitter all the time after events like this, where people say, it's not politicizing to say I don't want my kids to be shot at school. Correct, but it is politicizing when you say that, pretending that there are people who take a position that we want to see kids get shot at school. That's the politicization. Yeah, we got it. You are a hero because on Twitter you're saying you don't want to see kids die. Point to the people who want to see kids die. And when you ask that question, and again, I'm not going to do it on Twitter today because I don't want to violate my rule, but when you ask that question, they'll inevitably tell you, well, it's the Republicans or the NRA. Okay, that's politicizing. I don't want to get into that. If you have a specific policy that you would like to put out there for discussion, I'm certainly open to it. I'm not someone who doesn't believe in any gun control laws whatsoever. I don't know anyone, including gun owners, who hold that position. Literally no one holds that position. But if you want to propose something that would actually help in this case. Now, like is usually the case, particularly with young criminals, they have a rather large paper trail, social media paper trail. Tweets, Facebook posts, Instagram photos, whatever it happens to be. Now, we certainly know that was the case with the shooter in Buffalo. We saw a lot of his posts. So was there anything there that was alarming prior to this incident? And not necessarily because you know now what he did, this one tweet maybe sounds a little suspicious. That's not what I'm talking about. Because that's not, let's stop pretending that we can see the future when someone writes something that you could reasonably only call suspicious after the fact. Was there anything in his social media history suggesting he is mentally unwell? If the answer is yes, well, how about this for a policy? Can we figure something out on how to stop these people from doing these kinds of things before they do it when they're very clearly showing signs that they are mentally disturbed? Can we do that? Because whether we're talking about Buffalo or Sandy Hook or any of these shootings, there's generally been, not in all cases, but there's generally been some pretty clear evidence suggesting the person is unwell. And did they get the help that they need? Did they? What exactly is, and Brian Suits talks about this on his show, he talked about it pretty frequently last week, when you've got all of these Department of Homeland Security agents who are out there looking to find potential terrorists and white supremacists, whatever it happens to be, how is it that they're not finding the tweets that talk about wanting to shoot up a school, for example? Why don't they find those? They were able today to find the to make an arrest, a potential terrorist plot to murder President Bush. Happened in Ohio. They made the arrest today. They were able to find that, thankfully. Why is it that they can't find any of these kinds of tweets? When someone is maybe literally saying on Twitter, I'm going to shoot a school. Now, there's that fine line, right, that you have to follow. You can't cross. Going into government censorship, going into privacy violations. But when you're posting stuff publicly, that's certainly not a privacy issue. So we'll wait and get more of these details. I can't propose any policies on whether it's gun control or not unless we know what happened. And while some folks want to pretend that they already know the answer, they don't, but I just point you to the people who claim that this was a white supremacy shooting on Twitter. It's not a white supremacy shooting. He appears to be Hispanic. So let's maybe wait and get some of those details. Now, when we come back, we're going to return to our show. We'll get into some of the topics of the day. And, of course, we'll be monitoring what's going on in Texas at this horrific event, a mass shooting, again, leaving 14 dead, 14 students dead, one teacher dead, the shooter also, thankfully, dead in Uvalde, Texas. The IRS continues to be aggressive, and they're increasing the number of officers in Washington State. So contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He's going to be able to help. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
Congresswoman Marilyn Strickland, she made comments about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas that are just, it's not just wrong, they're nefarious. I think the intent actually is nefarious. She was doing an interview with Brandi Cruz, host of Undivided, which you should check out. And they talked about the aftermath of the what seems like the inevitable decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. And because there is a talking point or set of talking points that have gone out, you're hearing the same really bad take over and over and over again. This one went one step further than I've heard members of Congress, at least here in Washington, go.
But Justice Thomas is married to a white woman.
Yes, and Justice Thomas often votes and rules on things that are against his own interests.
Okay. They're talking about the slippery slope. What is that slippery slope to Marilyn Strickland? Based on that clip, can you tell? Just to show you how clear and obvious and transparent this horrible talking point is. Yeah, see, what's coming up next is interracial marriage is going to be overturned. That is the argument coming from Marilyn Strickland. And as Brandi Cruz points out, Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman.
But Justice Thomas is married to a white woman.
Yes, and Justice Thomas often votes and rules on things that are against his own interests.
So I don't think that Justice Thomas would rule against something that he's actively engaged in. Do you? Let's be realistic.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
Really? It would not surprise you if Justice Clarence Thomas voted to repeal the rights of interracial couples to be married?
Or he could say that moving forward, they're against the law. Absolutely.
So those comments are vile. They're evil. It's unbecoming of a member of Congress. And by the way, that's saying something. Now, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Lots of people choose to go down the path of just fear-mongering, speaking about things they have no idea about. And what we've seen is this sort of combination of truly ignorant people and bad faith politicians using this Supreme Court leak in Dobbs v. Jackson, Jackson Women's Health Organization, going down this slippery slope path. You had Joe Biden claim that soon the Supreme Court's going to allow for segregation in schools, not the racial segregation that they've been actually engaged in, like in Seattle and Issaquah, where they've separated out people by race for meetings, but gay kids being kicked out of classrooms because they're not allowed to stay in class with straight students. I have no idea where that insane concept even came from, other than trying desperately to tie this into the Don't Say Gay bill that doesn't actually exist. The decision as leaked that Marilyn Strickland very clearly didn't read because it's not a picture book, does not impact anything beyond abortion, no matter the lazy arguments that are made. Now, she was talking in this clip, if you go back and watch the full video, because it's a long interview, she was talking about the fact that she believes that this Dobbs decision, again, that's overturning Roe v. Wade, would foreshadow a similar reversal of Love v. Virginia. Love v. Virginia was the one that found a law, any laws banning interracial marriage, to be unconstitutional. And it was based on the 14th Amendment. It was not based on the right to privacy, by the way, which is wholly different from the 14th Amendment argument from Roe v. Wade. But Samuel Alito, the justice who wrote the majority opinion, at least me quoting from the draft, so it could change. It's unlikely. The argument's certainly not going to change. But he bases his position and the position of the court on the fundamental difference between Roe and the other 14th Amendment cases, including interracial marriage, including gay marriage, including contraception. He literally writes those out, saying the reason why this is different when it relates to the quote-unquote 14th Amendment, because I don't think this does. He says it's different because, quote, abortion destroys potential life. That's all the argument is based on. Abortion destroys potential life, a position he holds because, and he cites newer science and technology to have a better indication as to when life begins or when life is viable. Interracial marriage does not destroy a life. It is not relevant to this conversation at all. And again, it specifically says this ruling should not indicate any change to those cases I mentioned. Interracial marriage, gay marriage, contraception. None of that is impacted here. The folks who hold that position, who are putting that out there, they are lying to you. And they know you haven't actually read the ruling. Again, draft ruling. She has not read the opinion. I don't think she read the opinion. She might wait for it to become a movie. A dramatic movie about A Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, we got it. And what I think this ends up doing is pushing even more division and hate between two sides. It's already passionate on both sides. And I get the passion on both sides. I get the reason why people are pro-abortion. I get it. Intellectually, I understand it. I disagree, but I get it. But understand that this comment comes after we heard from various activists promising a summer of rage. The Women's March president, Rachel Carmona, she did an interview with, I believe it was Reuters. And she said, for the women of this country, this will be a summer of rage. We will be ungovernable until this government starts working for us, until the attacks on our bodies let up, until the right to an abortion is codified into law. That sounds like the threat of violence. Could it go there? Yes. Will it? I don't know. I certainly hope not. But I recall the summer of love that Democrats said nothing about. They didn't care about the loss of life then, apparently, or the property damage there, because politically they benefited. It served a political agenda. Are they doing that exact same thing right now? Can they justify violence being done in the name of protecting a woman's right to have an abortion? I foresee that as a possibility. And now on top of that, you're telling people, oh, hey, interracial marriages are on the chopping block. If you're a black man or a black woman married to a white man or a white woman, oh, I don't know. If you're an Asian marrying a white guy, if you're a Latino marrying a white guy, they're coming after you. That sounds like you're trying purposely to stir the pot and create even more potential for violence. That's what it sounds like to me. If you want to read this story, if you want to watch the whole interview, text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link to my report.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. As we said earlier, when we get these stories of mass shootings, the casualty numbers have a tendency to change, and unfortunately that's the reality tonight out of Uvalde, Texas, where we can now tell you that 18 children and three adults have been killed. We know that at least one of the adults killed is a teacher. We don't know the role of the two other adults in this updated casualty number, but we can now tell you 18 children, three adults have been killed in Uvalde, Texas, at the hands, according to police, of Salvador Romas. He also is deceased. He was shot and killed by officers who were responding to the shooting. Those two police officers, or at least two police officers, were shot and wounded. They are expected to make a full recovery. But now we can tell you 18 children have been killed. Three adults, according to Fox TV, although they are on their website saying it's two adults. So there's a little bit of an inconsistency there. Inconsistency there. And once we get those details, we'll bring them to you. But, you know, we told you that that number was going to change. We know of two confirmed injuries, a child, 10-year-old girl, and a 66-year-old woman, both in critical condition over at University Health in San Antonio. Uvalde, Texas is about 85 miles from San Antonio. This is a small town. This is the kind of city that everyone knows each other. This is the kind of city that's very close-knit, and there are a lot of parents who are waiting to hear if their child is amongst the deceased, if their child is injured. We heard from Fox News' Bill Malugin just not too long ago saying, you know, he spoke with a father who can't find his girl, his young girl. And he's trying desperately to figure out where it is she is. Another father spoke with Fox News. And this actually is that father. Here we go.
I got info that my daughter was at school where they were shooting, and I was waiting for more details, and nobody never called me back on detail. And now I've come back in town looking for my daughter, and I can't find her now. I'm going crazy. You know? Now I'm at loss of words. I don't even know how to talk no more. Just, nobody knows where my daughter's at right now.
And obviously you understand his concern and anxiety. We hope that his daughter is okay. We hope that she's not one of the 18 children, but we don't know. And after a shooting like this, obviously there's a lot of work that goes into not just the investigation on why this happened the way it did and who the suspect was, but just on the ground, when we're talking about hundreds of students, you have to do an accounting for each and every one of them before they're able to just simply be released to their parent. They have to make sure that that's being done in a safe and effective way. So that takes time. And as we're heading into the evening for the East Coast and in Texas, they're a few hours ahead of us. You know, the longer this takes, the more anxiety there's going to be. Now, we expect a press conference that should have happened about 30 minutes ago. We expect it from law enforcement at any time, generally speaking, though not always. The reason for the delay is either they have some outstanding questions that they know will be asked that they're close to getting an answer to. In many cases, and I fear that this is the case, you've got parents, family members who have not been told yet about the fate of their son or daughter. And they want to have these conversations with the parents, break the devastating news, altering the lives of these people forever, before they go ahead and confirm some details that could lead the media to figure out who some of the deceased are. So they're about 35 minutes late. We expect it's going to happen in by the end of this hour. At 5:15, we also expect to hear from the president. President Biden is expected to give an address to the nation from the White House, this after his trip to Asia. You know, we played live for you the remarks from Vice President Harris, and it seems to indicate he's going to get immediately into gun control. And again, I hope he doesn't do that. I truly hope he doesn't do that. Because we don't even know whether or not the gun that he had was legally purchased, and if it was, should there have been any red flags that reasonably could have been discovered. And maybe the answer to that is yes. But maybe the answer is no. Maybe these guns were stolen. Now, initially, Governor Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, indicated that it was a handgun that was used, possibly a rifle. He wasn't able to confirm that. He just said some of the reports. And we've since seen video of Ramos going into the school. And it certainly looks like it was a rifle that was brought in. I've seen some of the photos on social media of him holding some of the weapons. It doesn't indicate that he held, that he used the weapons that are in the photo, but they're definitely two rifles. These are not handguns. It's possible he had the rifle but didn't use it. He used the handgun. We don't know any of those details yet, but you know, the immediate reaction to politicize this into a, here's a policy we should pass, when we don't even have the details yet, just, it's so wrong to me. It just feels dirty to have those conversations. And I'm not saying you should never have those conversations. We 100% should. And we do. I'm just saying maybe before we race to make some sort of political point, including a political point on the right, whatever that might be in a case like this, hold off just a little bit. Just for the day. Just for the night. Or at least wait until we get some of the details. Because we don't have those details. There are some folks who, honestly, they wait for an event like this so they can send out their hot take on Twitter. Including the high and mighty tweets of like, oh, I don't think it's a hot take to say I don't want kids to be shot. No one wants kids to be shot. No one. Well, the NRA, no, the NRA doesn't want kids to be shot. When you make a bad faith claim like that, you are telling us that you are not serious. That you are an unserious person. And your opinion on the matter should not be given any weight whatsoever. There's not a single person who is a hardcore, the most hardcore supporter of the Second Amendment who says, yes, I want children to die. They don't exist, those people. You've created that caricature because it serves a political agenda. Now, on the right, immediately, folks will say, no law could have prevented this. That might very well be true. But do you know that for a fact? Are you 100% certain? Because we don't know what happened here yet. We don't have those details. Now, could you make the argument reasonably that it's unlikely that a law could have changed? A law, at least, that we don't currently have on the books? Yeah, it's unlikely. But we don't know that for certain. And I can't get mad at folks on the left who politicize without getting mad at folks on the right who decide to politicize. And depending on the tragedy, sometimes the left will do it more than the right, and sometimes the right will do it more than the left. Now, there are general conversations we could have when we know details. A general conversation I think is reasonable is the idea that this is a soft target, meaning it's very easy to target this particular building. This is not the fault of anybody in Uvalde, and there are plenty of schools, businesses, event centers that are also soft targets for shooters, for terrorism, whatever it happens to be. The Space Needle is a soft target. Why? Because anyone could just go onto that campus and start shooting. Now, can you make that more fortified? Not really, unless you really, really, really commit. You're going to have to set up a wall. But when we're talking about these school buildings, especially a building like this, as our guest Sergeant Bratner Smith pointed out, someone who's familiar with the area and the school, it's an older building that doesn't have the same kind of architecture, infrastructure in place, such as fencing, such as one place to enter, one point of entry, multiple exits, but one point of entry. Fox News earlier, although they weren't able to confirm it at this point, but the evidence suggests that it is the case, you've got, unfortunately, there was no school resource officer on campus at the time that this happened. They have school resource officers, but it's shared amongst the district. Now, does every school need a school resource officer? I would say yes, but I can understand why some would say no, especially smaller cities, like Uvalde. But as today pointed out, just because you're a small city, a close-knit city or town, you're not immune to these kinds of tragedies. There will be some who claim that this happens all the time. It doesn't. Thankfully, it doesn't. You can pretend it does because, again, that's being done in bad faith. But it doesn't happen all the time, which is why you know the names of school shooters, which is why you know the names of schools that have been involved in this kind of tragedies. But as of right now, we just don't know what happened and why, beyond a sick individual, a murderer, a thug, a loser, a degenerate, the worst kind of human being, did the unimaginable and went into a school and shot and killed, murdered 18 kids and 3 adults. And unfortunately, even those numbers could potentially go up. There's going to be time, including maybe later today when we get the press conference, that we'll learn more details on what happened and why. Specifically what happened. We know the big what. But what led up to it? We heard that, according to various reports, that Salvador Romas had some sort of argument with his grandmother, murdered his grandmother, and then went to the school. And as Sergeant Smith pointed out, you know, this was an Adam Lanza. Remember, Adam Lanza, specifically with Sandy Hook, had an argument with his mother, didn't get along with her, murdered her, then went to the school where she worked. Did that happen here? I don't know. Did the grandmother work here? Don't know. Did he go to the school? Because we know he is a high school or was a high school student in the district at the high school. Did he go to this particular elementary school? We know he's a resident. We don't know if he acted alone. Now, I'm presuming, because we've seen cases like this, that this was a sole incident, meaning he's the only person who was involved. But did other people know about what he was planning and didn't say anything? Did anyone else suspect he was going to do something like this but didn't say anything? That's part of the investigation, and that's what we'll get. And maybe we'll get an update once the law enforcement officials provide their press conference. We expect it to happen before the president's speech. If it doesn't, they will obviously withhold their press conference until after the president speaks. We'll be carrying that live here at 5:15. You've been listening to the Jason Rand Show. This is normally the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, but obviously breaking news takes precedent. We'll continue our coverage when we come back. You're listening to KTTH.
Breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
We are now getting a press briefing starting. We're going into that now live from Uvalde, Texas.
Thank you for your patience and understanding. Here to share a statement and not take questions is our Uvalde CISD Chief of Police, Pete Arredondo.
Thank you. Good evening. Again, briefly, as of now, we are still working on this active investigation. Once we're able to provide information to the families, we will do so first and foremost, obviously. Our priorities is to get information to our families and give them some information. So please bear with us in regards to that. Secondly, once we do get some information that we can release to the public, we will be doing that. So please know once we do get some information, we will share that with you and call another press conference. Let me assure you, the intruder is deceased, and we are not actively looking for another individual or any other suspects in this case. We definitely ask you all to keep the families that are involved in your prayers. Thank you so much.
Here to provide a statement and not take any questions is our superintendent, Dr. Hal Harrell.
Good evening. This was a tragic and senseless event today, and my heart was broke today. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with all our families as we go through this day and days to come. A few announcements that we need to make is beginning tomorrow at 10 a.m., we will have grief counseling and support at the Civic Center for our students, our staff, community members, anybody that needs to come at that time. And we may be there more than one day, may be there several days. Our ROB staff will meet at 8 a.m. At the Civic Center as well. We'll begin with visiting with them and seeing what those needs are. school will be closed. The school year's done. We'll have no school tomorrow or Thursday. All activities are canceled throughout the district. No graduation is on people's mind. We will come out with a notice on that at a later time. All the staff members, they will report to their campuses, other than Rob campus, which will come to the Civic Center. Again, my heart was broken today. We're a small community, and we will need your prayers to get us through this. Thank you.
That was the superintendent.
Again, this is a tragic event in our community. We are very sorry that we cannot provide you more information, but greatly appreciate your patience and understanding during this very difficult time. We ask that you pray for all of the families affected. Thank you, and be safe.
That was Anne Marie Espinoza of the Uvalde School District. Let's just do a quick recap of what we learned. We didn't get that many new details nor confirmation of the number of victims, although we do have an update in that they have downgraded the or lowered the adults who have been killed to two. It was previously three, but Fox News, quoting the Texas officials, say 18 children were killed. We heard from Pete Arredondo. He's the chief of police for the Uvalde School District. He said that there are no other suspects who are being pursued, so that means that this was one person acting alone. Now, that doesn't mean that other people didn't know about what was going to happen, what ended up happening. So that's part of the investigation, but this is no longer an active shooting or active investigation into potential other shooters involved or anyone else on the campus who posed a threat. So we've got that confirmed, that the, although he did not name, the report is that it's Salvador Romas who is accused. He is dead. He was killed by police. Two officers were shot and wounded, but they will survive. We heard again from Dr. Hal Harrell. He's the superintendent who obviously said, this is a small community and this is going to hurt. We need your prayers. Which I'm sure everyone listening to me right now is offering up. We heard from him saying that school is canceled for the rest of the semester. Again, an understandable position for them to take over at Robb Elementary School. We're now getting some more details on the incident that happened before the school shooting, courtesy of CNN. They say the suspect is believed to have shot his grandmother before going to the school. This according to three law enforcement officials. State Senator Roland Gutierrez said the grandmother was airlifted to San Antonio and is still holding on. This is in conflict with some of the earlier reports suggesting that she was shot and killed. So obviously, if she is still alive, that is good news, but it sounds obviously like it's serious. He's quoted as saying, this young man shot his grandmother and fled that scene from that incident. Now, does that mean he targeted specifically this school and the grandmother lives nearby? Don't know. Did the grandmother work at the school? We don't know. But this is an additional piece of information that's going to help law enforcement figure out why this happened the way that it did. Why did this happen? So we'll keep an eye on that, but the latest number, not good, 18 children murdered by this degenerate. We don't know what weapon specifically he was using. As Greg Abbott said earlier, he believed that it was a handgun. The image, he said it's possible that there was a rifle involved, but you know, again, looking at the photos, or excuse me, the video that was put out that purports to show Romas as he was going into the school, it looked like definitely a rifle was involved. Let's quickly go to Fox News and get this update.
I want to clarify a couple of things. You see at the bottom of the screen there, it says 18 children, two adults killed. Our breakdown from Bill Malugin, who just talked to the Department of Public Safety in Texas, now reporting it is 18 children. It is one adult teacher and the shooter. So there are 20 total people who have died today, but we don't really count the shooter in the death toll of that. So 18 children, one adult is what we are being told by Bill Malugin, who's down at the scene. You just talked to the attorney general there, and it's interesting because you're getting clarity from different people. And one of the state senators, his name is Roland Gutierrez. He is a Democrat. He says, and he went out publicly and said, that the shooter that we now know, of course, as we'll get his name in a minute, Salvador Ramos, the shooter bought two assault rifles on his 18th birthday. Just for clarity, we have not gotten any confirmation that these were assault rifles. If you're looking for law, those two assault rifles in Texas, you can buy a long gun on your 18th birthday. You can buy them under the age of 21. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, reported that he went into the school with a long gun, a rifle, and a handgun. You cannot buy a handgun under the age of 21 in Texas from a licensed gun dealer. You can buy a handgun from a Texas citizen. That's a private sale. So we don't know the genesis of this, but just for clarity on what we're doing, when you look at the death toll there, we should also note, Jesse, that this now becomes the second deadliest shooting in U.S. history. And we don't know if the numbers are going to change. The first deadliest shooting would be, of course, in Newtown, Connecticut, almost 18 years ago in Newtown, Connecticut, where you had 27 people killed. You had 26 and 7-year-olds, and you had 6 adults, and you had the mother of the shooter, Adam Lanza, who was, of course, arrested for this when he broke into the window at the elementary school there in Sandy Hook, and he shot and killed those students. So just trying to kind of get together the facts here. You talked about social media with one of your guests. We are doing this social media footprint. Investigators are all over the social media footprint, and they're trying to figure out to make sure, first and foremost, if in fact that this alleged shooter, Salvador Ramos, was in fact the same person who had these long gun pictures, as your guest said earlier, and was sending these bizarre messages to a female. We have pulled up the same information, but trying to confirm that it is the shooter is an entirely different ballgame, and we want to make sure that we're not just first, but that we're also accurate in the information that we give out. But you see it there on the screen. You have 18 children, one adult, now the second deadliest shooting in U.S. history, the deadliest shooting in Texas history, and the information is still coming in, and you can believe me, it will change again. We were at Columbine, Jesse, for 3.5 weeks back when it happened, and the information was changing 2 and 3 weeks later. So, you know, information in this type of atmosphere, in this fog of war, as you might call it, is always in change mode. Yes.
That's Trace Gallagher reporting live on Fox News and Jesse Waters primetime. 18 children, one staff member dead, in addition to the shooter dead. There's only believed to have been one shooter. That part of the investigation has been completed. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. We'll carry the president's speech at the top of the hour.